Hello and welcome to the Gandhara, the podcast by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Pakistan and Afghanistan. I am Mohammed Tahir, your host in Washington, D.C. Russia in Syria, Russian invasion of Crimea, Russia attacking Ukraine, Russia attempting to manipulate U.S. elections. These are some of the latest headlines involving Russia's increasing move on the world stage. But now, Afghan and U.S. officials are also on the record accusing Moscow in flirting with the Taliban in Afghanistan, and they demand Russia to step back from what they say is undermining the authority of the Afghan government. Russian officials won't deny the accusation, but they say their contact with the Taliban has to do with their shared interest to fight against IS in Afghanistan. But Kabul is furious about the nature of this relationship and Russia's intentions. On this episode of Gandhara Podcast, we will look into what Russia is up to in Afghanistan, why it is flirting with the Taliban, and what is her ultimate goal involving the Taliban and Afghanistan. To discuss the subject, we have a very distinguished panel of people in the know. Mohammed Omar Safi, former governor of Kunduz province in northern Afghanistan. Sean Snow, former U.S. intelligence analyst who toured Afghanistan in numerous occasions with U.S. military. He is joining us from Washington, D.C. Nikita Minkovich, Afghanistan analyst at Russian International Affairs Council. He is joining us from Moscow. Abu Bakr Siddiq, the editor of Gandhara, a website by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, focusing on Afghanistan and Pakistan's tribal region, is today joining us from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, welcome to the Gandhara Podcast.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. Before to kick off the debate, let me remind you that please feel free to amplify, expand, or disagree directly with points other guests are making. Please don't wait for me to prompt you a question so that we have a lively debate today. With this, Governor Safi, to your credit, you were the first person who publicly discussed Russian ties to militants in Afghanistan from the position of authority just a few months ago. And to our credit, the discussion took place in our second weekly podcast that's called Majlis, focusing on Central Asia. Then many people caught in surprise about your comments on Russian advances in Afghanistan, but today everyone is talking about it. I will get back to you, Mr. Safi, on this shortly, but first let me go to Moscow. Mr. Minkovich, when Russian ambassador in Kabul, Alexander Matyetsky, says that we have relationship with the Taliban, how do you read it? What kind of relationship is he talking about?
First of all, the first Russian man who said that Russia do have contacts with Taliban movement was a special representative, Mr. Kabul. The Mr. Ambassador was the second one who gave more information about these contacts. As far as he said, Russia is interested in a negotiation process in Afghanistan. Russia want to take part in it, as United States do, as other countries of NATO do, and Russia, which is interested in Afghan situation, also wants to have some contacts with parts in this dialogue, because Russia is afraid that continuous of civil war in this country will break regional security for Russia and its allies. So we are interested to take part in this dialogue. For my opinion, the reason is that United States is trying to build such kind of dialogue for years. We can see no results of this political process. So maybe United States is doing something wrong. Maybe we should help them, because it's our business. It's okay. Our security.
Okay. Governor Safi, what do we know about this relationship between the Taliban and Russia leading up to this point? As I just mentioned, you spoke about this long time ago before it became a public debate these days.
Russia is very seriously entrusted to have some sort of intelligence connection or some kind of relation with the Taliban. There are, right now, the issue is furthermore complicated. The game is going to be changed to a very serious stages. You know, now the China, the Russia, the Iran, and leading by Pakistani intelligence, which has a very long, long history in controlling such kind of games in, you know, when there was a Soviet war against the Soviet Union's invasion, and then now is supporting the Taliban. So they are going to make actually all the six neighbors of Afghanistan are, looks like that they are going to be united against the American and NATO presence in Afghanistan. The issue is getting more serious than we had discussed before.
Mm-hmm. Sean, is it the way it looks like from Washington?
No, I'm not sure I would entirely agree with that. I think the issue is somewhat twofold. You did mention Iran and Russia, and I think Iran and Russia have somewhat similar goals with their reach out to the Taliban. And I think predominantly Russia and Iran's fear is an expanding ISIS. They see some of the instability going on in Afghanistan, and they're looking to, for the most part, the position is that Iran and Russia don't have the intelligence networks and the human resources currently in Afghanistan. And they're not seeing the picture that NATO forces or Afghan forces are seeing, but yet they're seeing all this instability that's going on. In order to make up for that, reaching out to the Taliban is one means to bridge that gap. Predominant fear is an expanding ISIS, and it's an issue of narcotics moving over the border. I don't think that Iran or Russia are interested in supporting the Taliban in order to, say, destabilize Kabul or to overthrow the government. I think that would be incredibly counterproductive. I don't think Russia wants to go back to what was witnessed during the 1990 Civil War. That would be incredibly chaotic and against Russia's interests. And we also have to remember here that Iran was actually relatively supportive during the 2001 Bonn conference after the initial invasion by U.S. forces into Afghanistan. In fact, it was, I believe, Zarif in the 2001 Bonn conference that mentioned Karzai's name as a possible leader for the interim government that was taking place. So to suddenly say that maybe Iran and Russia here are being more of destabilizing agents and wanting to destabilize Kabul, I don't think that's the intent here. I believe that they see a destabilized situation, and as General Nicholson, the Commander Resolute Support, said in several of his Pentagon briefings, is that currently government forces only control about 60% of the territory, 40% is contested between Taliban and government, with about 10% controlled by the Taliban. And what that means is that the government is having trouble controlling regions of Afghanistan, and it is creating a vacuum. And Russia and Iran see a means to help plug that. And they're using the Taliban, providing them possibly with intelligence, and using that to bolster against any kind of expanding ISIS influence. And I also want to mention, this was a couple of today, that the Iranian ambassador actually admitted that their relationship with the Taliban is one of an intelligence issue.
Right. This is what also Russians say. It looks like Afghan authorities also believe in that. And a few days ago, the spokesperson by the Afghan foreign ministry and some other high-level officials were kind of framing the Russian advances in Afghanistan in regard to Taliban, that this dialogue seems to be at this stage limited with just a political dialogue. Abu Bakr, is it what is happening, or there is anything more to this Russian-Taliban discussion?
There are a few, some fundamental things to understand here. One is that I think Russian approach to Afghanistan is evolving. We should keep in mind, thinking about this issue, a few larger issues. One is that Russia, of course, with everything it is doing in Syria, the rest of the world, its complex relations with EU and United States now, it is obvious that Russia wants to be seen and recognized and respected as a great power. Number two, Russian fears about an Islamic State foothold in Afghanistan are relevant, because if you look at the Russian involvement in Syria, one thing that prompted it was the presence of a large number of Central Asian and Caucasian from North Caucasus, Muslims from North Caucasus, involvement in that war. And the possible blowback fears kind of prompted Russia to intervene. One of the things, of course, there are other issues as well. And the other thing about Afghanistan is that Russia wants to, Afghanistan is still at the crossroads. I mean, the mission has succeeded in creating the international mission, which was U.S.-led and NATO-led, has succeeded in creating a kind of a state in Afghanistan after the state collapse in the 1990s. But still, this state needs, has a long way to go to stabilize and be, in a way, self-sufficient and become a normal state. And that's where Russia, I think, because it still considers Central Asia is kind of soft underbelly, it has objectives. And it also, I think, sees, particularly in this one process, in the quadrilateral diplomatic process, in which United States, China, Pakistan, and Afghanistan were involved and Russia was kept out, it kind of, I mean, one of the things that it reached out to the Taliban was precisely to, I mean, be considered as potential partner or one of the stakeholders that needs to be involved in this process. Of course, there are Russian contacts with insurgent leaders, particularly in provinces in northern Afghanistan on Central Asian borders. But I don't see that Russia, as far as we know now, that Russia has committed a large number of, I mean, covert or overt resources to decided to change the entire outcome of the conflict in Afghanistan, and it's committed to shape the conflict to what it's liking, as it has done in Syria.
Omar Sahabi, perhaps you are in a best position to explain that. How the Russian ties to Taliban looks like on the ground? You were governor of one of the provinces where this connection allegedly being put in practice. That's the Kunduz province in northern Afghanistan that has a border with Tajikistan.
The Taliban in Afghanistan is now, it's a fact that they are a power now in Afghanistan. They are controlling more territory than the Afghan government.
And in Kunduz, you are talking about?
Not only in Kunduz, the entire Afghanistan. Kunduz, they are controlling 70% of Kunduz province. All Afghanistan, they are more than 60-65%. If you see the whole districts and everywhere, there are Taliban. The problem is, you know, one side is a weak, corrupt, and a problematic government that has internal issues, that has corruption, that has drug, that has everything. And without support of the NATO, cannot even resist for one day. The other side is apparently fully traditional, you know, religious movement that has the full support of the local religious tribes and elders. So the long-standing friend of Taliban, which is Pakistan, was very wrongly pressurized by the Afghan government and by the international community, which forced the Pakistan to make lobbies for the Taliban to convince the China and Iran and Russia to buy this ready-made kit, you know, which is already for the use. And I believe, you know, Russia and Iran and Pakistan and China, they very clearly know that it's a very, very good time for their enemies or like for the NATO and Americans to give them a hard time because, you know, from one side, these four countries, they know that there is some kind of fishy games ongoing, which is ISIS, because a lot of, you know, local perception, rumors, and a lot of whispering ongoing that the ISIS is supposed to be very soon in the northern Afghanistan. And you see how General Dostum has been, you know, pressurized to reduce their influence in the north. Governor Atta, another powerful, officially announced that he will be leaving northern Afghanistan, you know, his post as a governor. There are quite a lot of kind of activities ongoing that looks like there is some sort of things going on that the Russian and China's or other countries doubt could be increased because that these powerful guys have been removed because the ISIS need to be, you know, pushed to this area, which is a very strong area of, you know, influence of China, Iran, and Pakistan in Russia. We all know, as the other panelist member has said this very clearly, that Russia is under pressure in Syria. Russia is under pressure in Ukraine. And they are also sanctioned or extended and all other problems they are facing. So I think this is one of the pressure point for Russia to get involved and speed up this game. Because if you see the all four sides of Afghanistan, will be the opposite groups, you know, like if you see the Pakistan, Iran, China, and the former Russian state. So for NATO forces, if they even get involved in further fights, you know, how, from where they could bring the logistic, from where they could support and run this serious war. So I think it will be very, very difficult for the NATO's to sustain in this things in this kind of situation. We should not forget about the next summer. You know, it's coming, and there is a lot of reports, you know, proof that the Taliban are not only having a tie or information on intelligence level, but they also have a very good cooperation on the military side to improve, their strength for the next summer. Some of the panelists has raised very nice point, but some of the points I disagree, because the reports are that our armies has found the Iranian bombs with the Taliban. They have found Iranian ammunition with the Taliban. They have proof in Farah that a number of Taliban have been taken currently in Iran territory. They are getting training there. There is a lot of reports, you know, proof that the Taliban are not only tied or information on intelligence level, but they also have very good cooperation on the military side to improve their strength for the next summer.
Governor Sapi, let me bring here some other panelists. Lots of things that you have said is disputed by lots of other people, including the Afghan officials in the American
office. May I add a few words?
Come in, Nikita.
I just want to give a few more information about Russian position. The situation is that Russia doesn't really need any kind of connections on the ground, as you said before, in this time, I mean. Because, as far as I know, all contacts now are active in the Pakistan, not in Afghanistan itself. I think it's not a secret for anybody of our participants. Pakistan secret services do now support Taliban movement. The reason is that the Pakistan is afraid the possibility of cooperation between India, the big enemy of Pakistan, and Afghanistan.
Becker, you mind if I jump in here?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
So I just want to address some of the comments that said about Iran and their history of supplying weapons to the Taliban. I think we have to look at this issue not just from the perspective that Iran and Russia has reached out to members of the Taliban, but we also have to realize, too, that the Taliban is actively looking for other supporters in the region. Because of a lot of the pressure that the international community has been placing on Pakistan for its support of militant groups in the region. Just this summer, the U.S. canceled the sale of F-16s to Pakistan. They also canceled up to $300 million of funding that comes out of the U.S.'s counterterrorism fund that goes to allies that are actively supporting the war on terror, and the U.S. canceled those funds. And because of a lot of this international pressure, that pressure has also been placed on the Taliban from Pakistan. Taliban has slowly been looking for ways to break some of their ties with Pakistan, and as such, they've reached out to the Iranians, and they have reached out to Russia as well. And there are shared interests between Iran and Russia. One thing we also have to keep in mind is that traditionally and historically, Iran and the Taliban have not necessarily been the best of friends. Though it is true, and it has been known for several years, that Iran provided weapons and arms and some training to some Taliban factions in Afghanistan, we have to realize that the Afghan military has not done a sufficient job at securing some of the border region of Afghanistan.
Yes, there are lots of big pictures. Iran is approaching the Taliban, or Taliban approaching to Iran, or Russia is approaching to Taliban, or Taliban approaching to Russia and Pakistan connection, all these big pictures. But the bottom line is what Russia wants from Taliban. Nikita.
Russia doesn't want to support Taliban. Because we really, really don't like this movement. But
why you are contacting this movement if you don't like it?
Because we want somehow to finish this terrible war, which continues for 15 years near our allies, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. It's dangerous and it's quite mad. 15 years, a lot of countries do take part in this conflict, and we have no results. We have drugs, we have illegal armed trade in the region, we have war, We have refugees.
Yes.
What we don't have, any results.
Yeah, lots of problems. But how you think Russia can help in this?
Now, Russia do have good relation with both Pakistan and India. And in this situation, Russia do have chance to persuade Pakistan to stop supporting Taliban and to give a kind of guarantee that Afghanistan, after the end of the war, will be neutral in India-Pakistan conflict.
Okay.
It is the thing that Pakistan want, and it is the thing that United States can't really promise to them. Because Pakistan do not really believe Americans, as Taliban also do not believe them.
Okay.
But Russia are natural now. They are not the part of this conflict. They are not the one who takes their planes to Afghanistan to attack villages and its population. So Russia do have chance to take part in this dialogue, not as an enemy, not as a part of the conflict, but as a natural country, which can give a guarantee and which can support process. Support a peace treaty.
Okay, let me bring here Abu Bakr. What Nikita is saying, that Russia is not part of the conflict, and also in a good terms with Iran and Pakistan, that's why it has an influence.
India
and Pakistan, that it has a leverage on those countries to come together and talk about this issue seriously. And now, first point is this. The second point is, what is the Taliban view of Russia? Because we know in the Taliban line, there are lots of people who in the past have been fighting against the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. What their approach is toward such a possibility?
Well, I think it's a good question. The first thing really to understand here is that I'm hearing it for the first time, that Russia is somehow playing this big diplomatic role behind the scene, which is aimed at restoring peace and stability in Afghanistan. I think it's true that Russia has definitely moved closer to Pakistan, very surprisingly, given its very historic alliance with India. In recent months, there were Russian-Pakistani military drills, which went ahead despite serious concerns by India. And then there was some talk of Russia joining the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, which, of course, India opposes. And India, after public opposition from India, Moscow was forced. I think the Russian embassy in New Delhi produced a very stark statement saying that Russia does not wish to join the CPEC. But the fact of the matter is that Russian-Pakistani ties are warming. I think there are many angles to that, and maybe Afghanistan is one of them, but I don't think that Pakistan has any intention, or it has shown any willingness to kind of agree to, even if these such suggestions were made, to agree to a peace process in Afghanistan. And one thing that is very surprising is that if you look at what Afghan officials have been saying, they have been pretty much everybody in the Afghan hierarchy, the lawmakers, the government, the foreign office, the presidential palace, and even the chief executive office and individual governors, they've all been united in opposing Russia's outreach to Taliban, but they've also opposed Russia's outreach or warm relations with individual Afghan actors or politicians or officials such as Rashid Dostum, the vice president, which tells you that Afghans are very uneasy about Russian role, because Russia has a huge historic baggage. It occupied the country for 10 years. And as you said, a lot of the Taliban fought against it, or members of the individual members or maybe leaders of the Taliban were in part of that jihad in 1980s. Now, I don't see that kind of a historic, long-term relationship between Russia and Taliban. After all, Russia has been fighting against groups that are very similar to the Taliban for decades now in North Caucasus. So it's inconceivable that it will support. But in the strange world of Afghan conflict, there are always these actors who support militant factions for some kind of short-term gains. And that what really we need to note is that these are short-term maneuvering, not long-term strategies. And one point that I want to, in response to what Governor Safi said, I think it's news to me that the Taliban have become suddenly so popular that they're supported by the tribes. I don't think that the majority of Afghan population from all ethnic groups, from all regions of Afghanistan, support Taliban. I think the Taliban are a minority movement that wants to impose its vision of governance, what they call is an Islamic moral, on Afghanistan through the barrel of the gun. They did it in the 1990s. They're trying to do it again. But I see that the majority of Afghan people are opposed to that kind of rule by extremist clerics.
Okay, thank you very much. So this is what is happening between Russia and the Taliban in Afghanistan. Now, Taliban is already in discussion with many countries, U.S., the Afghan government, Pakistani and Chinese officials. They even maintain an office in Qatar. So what is wrong if they also engaged in talks to Russians? We will continue our discussion on this topic shortly. First, let me recap the debate once more that today on the Gandhara podcast, we are discussing Russia's increasing contact with the Taliban in Afghanistan and the surging opposition against it. Discussing the subject with me are Mohammed Omar Safi, who is the former governor of Kunduz in northern Afghanistan, Sean Snow, former U.S. intelligence officer in Afghanistan, Nikita Mintkovich, Afghanistan analyst at the Russian International Affairs Council, Abu Bakr Siddiq, the editor of Radio for Europe, Radio Liberty's Gandhara website, which focuses on Afghanistan and Pakistan. I am Mohammed Tahir, host of the Gandhara podcast here in Washington, D.C. Welcome back, gentlemen, to the Gandhara. As I was asking earlier, that there are huge noise on why Russia is engaged in discussion with the Taliban. Yes, I understand sensitivities aside, given the past history, as Abu Bakr, you mentioned, involving Russia's invasion of Afghanistan. But why it is a big deal? Let's take Omar Safi's view on this. Governor Safi?
Let me add a few points to Mr. Nikita's point, saying that Russian approach is only for a peace effort or peace talks to maintain relation between Pakistan and India or so and so. I think this is not true because Afghan government is currently an official recognized government. Anyone talking to the enemy to the of Afghan government or that's a direct intervention into the Afghanistan affair. The Mr. Siddiq, what Mr. Siddiq is saying, I think I disagree with his points because unfortunately we are always hiding the reality and the reality hiding the reality cause that Afghanistan is just burning in this serious flames of war. So we should not hide this. And we should.
What is that you are trying to elude, Governor Safi?
And they are getting powerful groups in Afghanistan, unfortunately. Right now, almost each province, there is a lot of people are going to the Taliban court. They are not coming to the Afghan courts. There is serious of problem Taliban are getting, you know, place in the heart of the people. Unfortunately, we are not, you know, saying that this is a good thing, but this is a reality because of the weak governance, because of the corruptions, of the some mistake of the NATO and the international forces in Afghanistan.
Okay, I understand, Governor Safi, but let's keep our point here about the sensitivity behind Russia's discussion. With the Taliban. As I mentioned like earlier, that several countries are talking to Taliban these days. What is wrong if Russia is one of them? So can't
I got your point. Everyone can talk, but this should be very clear. And it should be not a hidden talk, you know. The Afghan government should be in the picture of this talk. I am part of the Pugwash process. I have been, participated in Pugwash meetings several times. Taliban has openly requested the United States to talk to them, but the United States deny because they say that Afghan government is there and they should ask us, then we will, because this is Afghanistan issues.
Right.
But countries who are talking directly, this is not acceptable for the Afghan government. My concern is that, you know, that is true that Iran, China, and Russia, they are afraid to have very close tie with the Taliban because this is a terrorist group, they are extremist Muslims or so and so. But they have a way how to reach to them. That is Pakistan, who has the key of of producing the Taliban, or who knows a lot of tricks how to control the Taliban. So that's the biggest good reason for the Russian to get closer to this and use this cake for their own benefit. You know, the regional games, the worldwide problems, political issues between Russia and the world. So that I think for Russian is a very good chance and very good time to be actively involved in this.
Okay,
for Afghan, this is a kind of poison to take because Afghans are seriously affecting in this dirty games of the world powers.
Let's bring Nikita.
May I add a comment?
Yes, Nikita, I am just coming to you, but let me paraphrase the question that the concerns that Governor Sapi raised about Russia talking to the Taliban. What he is saying is that, yes, there are international powers talking to various groups in Afghanistan, but the fact that some countries doing it, undermining the authority of the Afghan officials, that is not helping. And the second question I want to ask Nikita to you is, okay, there are countries that involved in discussion with various groups. What's the end game? What the impact it's going to have in long term, in short term, to the Afghanistan?
First of all, I want to say a sad thing. Russia or any other country who want to take part in these talks have no chance to undermine the position of official Kabul and the situation of Afghanistan, because I'm afraid that it can hardly be done, that the situation became worse. Now it is terrible. Taliban is very active in north part of Afghanistan, in Kunduz, for example. It captured the capital of the province for two times. For two times, they had access to the army buildings, to the tanks, and so on and so far. It is dangerous for Central Asia, post-Soviet. It is dangerous for Russia and Tajikistan. Of course, Russia would like better to have a dialogue with official Kabul, with official Washington, and other guys who are coming to talks without a gun at the pocket. But we see that this just doesn't work. Official Kabul government, I'm deeply sorry to say it, official American government, I'm deeply sorry to say it too, just failed to do something with situation to become it better for 15 years. I see that maybe somebody doesn't like Russian position, but it is a big problem. The old approaches showed by Kabul for some reason failed. And it's not only internal Afghan business. It became dangerous for Russia itself. So Russia is trying to do something to save the situation. As far as I think, we have a chance to talk to Pakistan and to stop this terrible situation. What the secret service of this country do support Taliban? I think we can put them down to the table of negotiation.
Let me bring someone else to respond to this. Sean, do you want to jump in?
I don't think that Russia is necessarily helping the situation if they're providing intelligence and possibly arms and weapons to the Taliban. I know we're trying to focus the discussion on the just Russia talking, but I think there's a differentiation that needs to be made here, that there is the possibility that Russia, and accusations that have been made that Russia has actively been providing weapons and intelligence for the purposes of going after ISIS, and maybe sometimes the Taliban uses those weapons and intelligence to go after the Afghan government. And another point that I wanted to make, too, is that we can't necessarily, I think it'd be too early to say that U.S. efforts in Afghanistan have failed. 15 years, yes, is a long time, but there have been some successes and there have been some progress in Afghanistan. This is a very complicated conflict. And to say that outright that U.S. efforts have failed and therefore Russia has to intervene in the matter a little bit premature. We have talks that are ongoing between the Taliban and Afghan government. Those talks were revealed to have been secret meetings in September and one in October. There are also rumors that the Taliban has reached out to battlefield commanders on their position of talks with the Afghan government, and some kind of realization amongst Taliban fighters that they have reached a stalemate with the Afghan army, that they aren't able to actually defeat the Afghan army on the battlefield, and therefore negotiations may be necessary. So to say that U.S. efforts and NATO efforts and that has failed and therefore Russia has to intervene to help the issue, I think is a bit premature. It's a long conflict. The actors in Afghanistan are complex, and I think we need to try not to overgeneralize or oversimplify simplify the conflict here.
Okay. Based on the opinions of the panelists, all the countries neighboring Afghanistan who is in contact with various groups there, they are aiming on one thing, that is the stability of the country. If that is the objective, what is the best approach to be followed?
Well, I think we should be very careful about claims that Moscow or Kremlin is somehow trying to help Afghanistan, because the last time it claimed so was in the 80s, and the result was that more than a million Afghans died, and Soviet Union, of course, but it was defeated militarily in Afghanistan in certain ways. So I think the best is that, look, today there is global consensus on resolving the Afghan issue. There are many multilateral international forums. There are UN resolutions, the NATO presence, the NATO mission is also, because of that kind of global consensus after 2011 attacks. I recognize that there are many problems, and particularly there are many problems for ordinary Afghans, but the way for solving those problems is not to Russia or anyone else to help the Taliban or create covert contacts with the Taliban. There is a need for greater international, particularly regional consensus. It makes me very optimistic that Beijing is now trying to take a leading diplomatic role and also a leading role in fomenting and generating regional cooperation, economic cooperation in this region. So I think Russia should join and reinforce those problems. One thing should be a must for Russian policy, which is that it should recognize and respect Afghan sovereignty and not try to do background deals or contacts with insurgent groups. The American contacts with the Taliban are in a framework where the entire international community is involved, where the Afghan government is involved, and wherever the Afghan government objected. For example, in 2013, President Karzai didn't want a formal Taliban office in Afghanistan with a Taliban flag and a nameplate saying the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, the formal name of the Taliban. Yeah. And of course, everybody has to agree to what President Karzai demanded. So I think that will be, a really positive contribution that Moscow can make.
Okay. Thank you very much, Abubakar Sadiq, the editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Gandhara website. Thank you very much for your insightful comments. And also big thanks, Mohammed Omar Safi, the former governor of Kunduz province in northern Afghanistan, Sean Snow, former U.S. intelligence officer in Afghanistan, Nikita Mentkovich, Afghanistan analyst at the Russian International Affairs Council. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today in Gandhara podcast.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And it's
goodbye.
This is it from me, Mohammed Tahir, your host in Washington, D.C. Until next week, bye-bye.